Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's edition of Save Our Schools with Dear JCPS. Dear JCPS is a district-focused stakeholder advocacy group that demands accountability and transparency from JCPS through a lens of equity. Save Our Schools Kentucky is a statewide advocacy group that seeks to expose and prevent attempts to privatize our public schools, including charter schools and everything else from the ALEC playbook. Hello, you're listening to Save Our Schools with Dear JCPS. This is the March 7th edition, and we are going to be speaking about some of the things that have been happening in Frankfort and Jefferson County, in particular with the recent teacher walkouts and what is driving the movement that has been happening in Kentucky and in Louisville in particular the last week or so. And we're also going to talk about some of the legislation and bills that are moving quickly and what we need to be paying attention to and what we need to be making calls about. So thank you for joining us. The first bill that we would like to make you aware of is Senate Bill 250. It passed through the local government committee in the House yesterday, which was Wednesday, and there were a lot of teachers from Jefferson County there, mainly because the bill is Jefferson County specific. That is one of the reasons why the sick out was driven by JCPS teachers, rank and file teachers, and why that caught on so quickly is because there is a lot at stake for Jefferson County in the legislature this particular session, especially with a bill that will strip away SBDM powers from their parents and teachers who have currently the ability in their schools to select a principal when there's an opening in the principal at their school, so principal position. So teachers and parents are concerned about this bill, and for whatever reason, it is only Jefferson County specific, and many articles that I've seen posted say that SB 205, the scholarship tax credit bill, is what's mobilizing teachers, which I would not disagree. That is also a mobilizing bill, but I think in addition to just this constant threat that scholarship tax credits is getting legs and starting to move, is also the realization that this Senate Bill 250 is also on the move. And once it passes out of committee, it can easily go to the floor for a vote once it gets three readings. And so we're going to listen to the testimony first that was given by the senator who's introducing the bill, and then some of the responses, including myself. I was one of the, myself and Karen were two of the individuals who spoke against the bill, in particular against the principal selection piece. So you'll get to hear our counter response, but I'm going to pause throughout the senator's presentation as well, just to address some of the things, some of the misinformation that she provided, because during our response testimony, we don't have enough time to really debunk all of the misinformation that has been perpetuated with this bill. So we're gonna use this radio program to do that. So first, listen in. This is the testimony from the local government committee hearing yesterday in Frankfort at the Capitol.
This time we'll call Senate Bill 250, Representative Senator Adams, please come forward.
Mr. Chairman, is it okay to make a statement, please?
We're gonna let Representative Adams start and proceed.
This bill should not even be in this committee.
I'll address that. I'd be happy to.
Representative Graves, okay, we're going to let her start her presentation. Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Introduce yourself for the record and proceed with the bill.
All right. I'm Senator Julie Rocky Adams. I represent the 36th District, which is in wholly in Jefferson County, Eastern Jefferson County primarily. And to your point, and I was actually going to start out with that, why is this bill in the local government committee? Well, I used to serve on local government committee when I was in the House, so it's good to see you all. But second of all, this bill strictly just deals with Jefferson County. It is Jefferson County specific. It has no statewide implications. It is strictly a Jefferson County bill. And part of the reason that it's strictly a Jefferson County bill is because Jefferson County has had its challenges, let's say. Particularly the most recent challenge that we have faced is the prospect of the state overtaking our school system. I was actually one of the first ones to speak out against state takeover of Jefferson County Public Schools. And I did not think that it was in the state's best interest or in Jefferson County's best interest for us to be controlled by the state. So long story short, I think with that objection of state takeover also comes a responsibility with what can we do to help Jefferson County? What can I do? How can I be a participant in allowing Jefferson County to tweak some of its things so that it operates in a more efficient way? In talking to stakeholders, some people wanted to go really big and bold. Some people wanted to do nothing at all.
All right, so let's break down what we've heard so far. In her testimony, they ask why the bill is in this committee and not in the education committee. And even though she attempts to answer it, one of her reasons is because she used to serve on this committee. But honestly, that's not relevant to why it should be in this committee and not education. Our feeling is that she shopped. In fact, there was a statement that she had been committee shopping. And the reason she might do this is because the complexities of the site-based decision-making councils and the actual implications of how things play out in the real world. Our guess is that she intended to hornswoggle this committee by speaking disingenuously about the legislation, because those of us who were in the room, who actually heard her testimony, which we'll hear more of in a moment, actually looked at each other with amazing disbelief, because none of what she was actually saying and the leaps to conclusions that she made were quite astounding to those of us who live and breathe in public schools every day. So we think that the reason that she shopped committees and chose this one in particular was that because she thought the committee wouldn't be able to ask good questions or know when she was telling the truth or when she was pushing an agenda, which we believe some of the things in her statement include that she worked with stakeholders. She oversimplified by simply saying, we face a state takeover, and she wanted to know, what can I do? And so she met with stakeholders. So first of all, what can I do? There are a lot of things that you could do that teachers and educators and parents have been making lists about for a long, long time. And when she says she met with stakeholders, none of the parents have been consulted. The PTA has not been consulted. I have not been consulted, and I am her constituent. And she even accompanied my son when he was attending the academy at Shawnee. So she knows that I'm passionate about this issue and about solving the things that could lead to a state takeover, which is by not closing our achievement gaps and by not addressing the student assignment plan. These are two things that I'm probably the most outspoken person in this community about right now. So I've messaged her and told her that I wanted to speak with her, and there was never really any opportunity to do so. No interest in finding out what the better solutions might be. So we know this to be disingenuous. And when she refers to stakeholders, some people, we've discovered that those some people include GLI Chamber, which we know because the verbatim we talked about last week, the language is verbatim on their website that was in her testimony last week. And we're also learning that Scala is involved. David Jones Jr., the former board chair, had his hand in a lot of the more lengthy pieces of the legislation that before it got whittled down, and that JCTA, the teachers union, has also been working to make the bill better, but nonetheless, they've been working with these different entities to get this bill introduced. And in fact, what we understand is that Brent McKim actually is the one who asked Senator Rocky Adams to be the one who sponsored it, I suppose, as a way of her repaying the endorsement that they gave her this past election. However, JCTA publicly opposes this bill. So this is all going to be become more clear as time goes on, but we did just want to identify that we do recognize the language that's in this bill as being things that David Jones has complained about when he was a board chair before the voters removed him. And one of the reasons that we did remove him was because he complained so much about transparency issues and about the public end running their meetings and how to run more efficient meetings by shutting down stakeholder voice. And he pushed through the renewal of Dr. Hargan's contract against the wishes of several other board members, kind of pulled a Jerry Miller meeting the day that they pushed that through. So we're starting to recognize these tactics, and they're being used over and over by some very, very crafty people with their own agendas. So those of us who are at these meetings and watching the body language and watching the patterns can tell you that this is what part of what's happening. So let's listen to the next piece.
What I have before you in Senate Bill 250, I think, is a really small little piece of how we can start the conversation. And kind of the bill as it first started out was much more expansive. What we've kind of pared it down through conversations and input from various stakeholders is a bill that focuses on three areas. And I'll kind of start with my presentation now that we've kind of addressed that. Oh, and lastly, I want to say that the bill passed out of the Senate in a bipartisan way. The vote was 31 yeses to 6 noes. And we had a lot of Jefferson County participation in that bipartisan vote. And I was really proud that we worked hard to do that. But basically, with the filing of 250, I wanted to highlight the challenges facing the students in Kentucky's largest school district. Despite multiple leadership changes and a well-publicized audit by our former Democratic auditor, Adam Edlin, and an attempted takeover by the state, JCPS still faces many challenges. And change starts with acknowledging that JCPS is unlike any other school district in Kentucky. JCPS serves 100,000 students across more than 160 schools. Our current one-size-fits-all approach to school district administration, I believe, is handcuffing JCPS. The audit shows it, the community knows it, and it's up to us to have this conversation as to how we can be part of a solution. So I've talked to many stakeholders, as I've said, and let me tell you what 250 does to kind of help bring about change at JCPS. First, on page one, it gives JCPS board and superintendent the freedom to focus on solutions and broad strategic issues most likely to deliver results. So if you look at page one, which is right here, it states, for a county school district in a county with a consolidated local government, adopted under KRS, it adopts the provisions of the Kentucky Model Procurement Code. So right now, JCPS operates under a $5,000 limit. What this does is it just ups that limit to $20,000, which is consistent with the Model Procurement Code, which is what we live under in the General Assembly and state government. So it just levels that field, or levelizes that threshold. The next thing that the bill does is it provides the superintendent the ability to select a team that supports and will work to implement a unified strategic vision. On page 9, you'll see the wording for principal selection. And this allows principal selection by the superintendent. There's been a lot of conversation, I mean tons of conversation, about how this will dismantle the SBDM process. In fact, it doesn't do that at all. The SBDM process is fully intact in this. The only difference is that the principal will, I mean the superintendent will have the ultimate authority. When we heard testimony from those who were opposed to this bill on the Senate side, what the testimony was, I think about 95% of principal selection is perfect. It's great. It's, you know, there's no problem. And I couldn't agree with that sentiment more. I do think that probably even higher than 95% of principal selection is really well done. But we do have those instances in a school district that's over 100,000 kids in 160 schools where it may be appropriate if we allow the superintendent to have that final say. You know, I don't think that allowing this principal selection component would be appropriate for a more rural area, but it's wholly appropriate for a very diverse urban area that faces a lot of challenges and has a whole lot of kids. So that's the second piece of the bill. And the last piece of the bill is on page 16, and that's where we address the issue of revising the senior executive tenure system. This bill does not touch teacher tenure. That's a critically important point that I want to make. It does not touch teacher tenure, and neither does it strip tenure rights away from any central office administrator. But what it does do is it gives the superintendent greater flexibility to build their team by allowing them to move administrators into other tenured protected roles that may better suit their strengths. So these personnel changes will empower JCPS to be more agile, creating additional opportunities to match individual leaders with the circumstances in schools that are best positioned to help. So Senate Bill 250 is a small step, but I think it's a critical step in the right direction. And as anyone will tell you, I'm not up to anything super sneaky. I'm here because I think that with being opposed to state takeover, that it's appropriate that we have this conversation. And as you know, if you've seen where the bill started and where the bill ended up when we passed it out bipartisan, it's changed a whole lot. And I'm always open to suggestions. I'm always open to changes. This is not perfect. And so if there's anybody on the committee that wants to work with me, I'd be more than happy to do that because I really want what's best for the kids.
Representative Bunch.
Thank you, Chairman. Senator Adams, could you tell me if any stakeholders from JCPS were brought to the table to discuss this piece of legislation?
Yes, that's a good question. I did. You know, when we first kind of introduced the bill and it was out there, as you might imagine, there was a lot of conversation about it. And then that's when I started getting, you know, phone calls and messages, and I started meeting with everybody and said, okay, how do we make it better? So I've met with a Jefferson County Teachers Association, I've met with school board members, I've met with, you know, people from central office, I've met with teachers in my district. You know, I think in order to answer your question, I think even better is I think that there's kind of a bigger issue at play here. And that bigger issue is that there is a dramatic lack of trust between the educational community and members of the General Assembly. And so we're very reactionary to think that, oh my gosh, you know, this is going to be a terrible thing, or she's waking up every morning to do something that's going to negatively impact. It's just the opposite. I mean, it's like I come in peace. I really want to participate in the process. I really think that we need to start to build trust. And part of that building of trust is listening to people and making amendments and having a sub and making changes to the bill and, you know, allowing people to participate in the process. And I don't think that it stops here with this committee. I think that we need to continue to work on these issues and work on the language and work on our trust, because we really do need to come together. I mean, I really feel strongly about that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that you brought all the stakeholders together. Everyone had input in the crafting of this legislation. I think that's important. Thank you.
Representative Donahue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and welcome to my old seatmate in the House.
Yes. I'm sure you miss me.
I do.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a look at page 8 and start with the line 20 there. It talks about the principal selection. I find it quite interesting. I will say that my superintendent's not for this, but I've not received any phone calls. But back in 2016, I had a bill passed with the help of everybody, and that are in the House. It was voted out 90-0 in favor of it with House 4. I went to the Senate, came back to the House with 98-0. So it's a bipartisan bill, House Bill 184 in 2016. And what that did was it addressed the issue about the superintendent at the time was Dr. Hargens, and didn't have an opportunity to supply somebody to be in the selection process with site-based programs and schools. And I wanted to have the ability to do that. And there's a situation would come up that an emergency clause where I could place somebody when I need to do that. That's exactly what this bill, House Bill 184 did in 2016. It gave the superintendent a voice at the table with the site-based programs to do that. What this bill does, it flips it. Not only do they not have a voice, they have the ultimate decision to make. So your site-based program is none and void. But what we're doing here, and I'll give you, if I may, Chairman, we had this situation happen in my district out there in our high school. We had 12 candidates come to our high school, and the site-based program says, these individuals, God bless them, are good folks, but they're not right for our school, okay? So we went through the process, and we finally got the right person for that school, okay? Turned my high school around. It was a great high school, made even a better high school, okay? We've since implemented the Cambridge program and all that stuff. And so that team that he had there at the time was very successful. And then when he decided to move on to greener grass, the individuals that was part of the team came right and stepped right in and it never missed a beat. The site-based programs, school-based decision-making councils, are a key element to our success in Jefferson County. That's the bottom line. Anytime we put power in someone's hands, him or her's hands, that has the sole control of that, and one of my legislative friends today said, well, you should be able to hire and fire him if you want to. You know, there are processes that you have to do. In my previous life, when I was a negotiator, a local negotiator in the automotive industry, you know, you have the process that you have to follow to take what you need if there's something that's not, someone is not pulling their weight. So I cannot support this bill because basically it null and voids, you know, the school-based decision-making councils. It's what it does, takes the authority away from them. And had my superintendent say, hey, you know, call me and had some input on that, and he's been very vocal, and a lot of the other superintendents around, I just think it's a dangerous thing. I believe in local control, you know, and it's interesting that it just applies to Jefferson County, and here it is in Franklin. It's something that can be handled internally, really can, if folks decide to sit down and try to come to some result. It can be handled internally. Once again, it's an attack on Louisville, it's an attack on Jefferson County, and this is not good legislative policy. Thank you.
And I guess I'll respond that, you know, I think the SBDMs are critical too. I don't disagree with any of your sentiments on SBDMs. And, you know, I've listened for the last several months from our superintendent and his public statements that he has made, he thinks that SBDMs are critical. But, you know, we also have 160 schools. And we also have, you know, unique challenges in various schools. And this doesn't disenfranchise the SBDM system at all. I can't imagine that there would be any, that the fact that we would assume that a superintendent would make 160 principal selections. I mean, they have to be vetted. They have to have parental involvement. They have to have teacher involvement. All of those things go to good school culture and good outcomes for our kids. That is such a critical piece that I don't think it could ever be diminished. This is just simply to allow for those instances, and like the testimony that was heard, it works. We're not upsetting that process. They're still in there, they're still in the language. It's just in those instances where we're trying to take care of a problem, or we're trying to institute, you know, kind of a new energy into a school. So, I mean, I don't really disagree with you, but I guess I would say don't be so skeptical, because I think the superintendent, we need to allow him, at least afford him a little flexibility to do what he thinks he needs to do in order to be really successful for our kids.
May I respond to that, Mr. Chairman?
Quickly, I've got several others.
Okay. No disrespect. I think the flexibility is there. I think the flexibility for what they need to do in those schools is there. And I think when all parties come together and sit down for a common cause, we're able to do that. So thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Howard.
Yeah, thank you, Senator, for being here. I just want to make a comment. I feel like that I'm pretty well qualified to say this. We're assuming that a superintendent is honest, qualified, and ethical. I represent a district that just had a superintendent that was indicted on federal charges for both buying and fraud. these are awful big assumptions to make. Not all superintendents are great. This doesn't affect my area. But I think I would be remiss if I didn't point that out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Adams, just a quick question from myself, and then we'll move on to the next presenters because I don't see any other questions at this time. In regard to some of the comments that Representative Donahue had made, this does not get rid of a site-based council, nor does it remove their ability to be involved in the hiring process. They have the first shot, if I read the bill correctly, to select a principal. And then if there were something that the superintendent just totally and completely didn't agree with, then he could override that decision.
Correct. Yeah, this, I can't stress it enough. The SBDM process is critical. It's excellent. It's two thumbs up and gold star. And it works in almost all cases. But there are instances it doesn't work. And so, it's, we have to have it in there because it's critical.
Thank you. I have Representative Tag Lafferty.
One of my concerns with this bill is also the site-based council. Of course, that's probably stemming from I am the daughter of a retired principal, and I know how important his site-based council was. As was just stated, of course we're keeping the site-based council involved, which is made up of the heart of your community. You know, you're asking a superintendent over a very large community of 160 schools. Now, I'm from one of those real rural areas you were speaking of, from the mountains. So I can't even imagine a school district of this size, how helpful the site-based councils must be to the principal and the superintendent. But one of my concerns is with one of the statements that was just made. Of course, we're going to send it through the site-based council. But if the superintendent decides for some reason that he just can't agree with, well, what are we going to limit that superintendent to? Would there be some sort of good cause? I mean, are you just letting him have the final, he just has the final say?
Yeah, I think that, that's a valid question. And I guess I would say that, he answers to the school board. And so if you have a rogue, let's just assume that you have a rogue superintendent that is like, here I'm going, I'm gonna go nuts on my principal selection, I'm gonna pick 25 new principals. He's not without his checks and balances too. He answers to the Jefferson County Public School Board. And if they say, whoa, Mr. Superintendent, you are not fulfilling the duties that in the manner in which we feel is appropriate, then that's where that stops. Is, that superintendent is checked by our Jefferson County School Board. And trust me, we've got some excellent school board members who are, I don't think would ever let that situation get out of control.
So at this moment, I was sitting in the audience with my jaw dropped because I could not believe that she had just said that the school board would be able to remove the superintendent if they ever hired a bad principal.
We could never marginalize,
because that's exactly what happened under Donna Hargan's tenure, and that's why we had to push so hard to get board members who were willing to remove her. What happens when you have not only a superintendent who goes rogue, but a board chair who goes rogue? So trusting the board to simply remove a superintendent when they make bad principal selections, which can be easily explained away, is a fool's errand. We know that this doesn't work. We've been there. Why does she want us make us go back to those days?
Not be helpful to the program, and the board would have to be involved in removing that principal?
No, I think that if a principal was removed, you would have to go through the SBDM process. All of those are still there, so that we don't do that. Yes, he does have final, let's say that he does have final authority and he puts Julie in school number one. If Julie in school number one doesn't work out, then you go back through the SBDM process to select someone new.
And to that point, and I don't know the Jefferson County specific issue it is, but superintendents have full firing authority to let someone go in other counties in the state. I would assume that's the same in Jefferson County as well. Hiring is in the hands of site-based. Letting someone go is totally in the hands of the superintendent.
The superintendent, which this bill allows to choose the person that he may want to hire or fire, we're giving him the ability to have the final say in hiring this person, and he's the one who fires them. Is that what we're...
Correct. And I think that would be consistent with most positions of hiring and firing, but... Representative Gravis?
Thank you. I thought this was a local government committee, and I feel like I'm in an education committee. And I'm not an educator. I love educators. I think the elephant in the room, I know I'm new, but I've heard the term committee shopping. And somebody has to say it. And I just feel like that it's inappropriate that this bill that is clearly to do with education has landed in our laps. But having said that, knowing how important parents and teachers are to these site-based decision councils, doesn't this bill potentially reduce the amount of parents and teachers that we're trying to involve in the most important part of our community, which is our kids?
I don't think so.
Well, forgive my skepticism, but I think it could. And we need more parental involvement, not less. And so, I strongly object to this bill even being here, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Brett McKim. I am a high school science teacher in Jefferson County and the elected president of the Jefferson County Teachers Association. I appreciate this opportunity to address the committee with regard to Senate Bill 250. And I want to begin by saying how much we have appreciated Senator Rocky Adams' openness to work with us, to make revisions to the bill, to address concerns. And we understand that, especially in a short session like this, you have to have a bill move and keep moving, or it won't get across the finish line before you run out of days. And so you have to kind of modify the plane as you're flying it. And we appreciate that she's continued to do that. And I know we have her commitment to continue to work with us, so we want to acknowledge that. There were three main areas that she highlighted in the bill. Some of those that we think are very positive, some we have concerns about, and one in particular prevents us from being able to be supportive of the bill, and I want to run through those very quickly. First, with regard to raising the limit from 5,000 to 20,000 on what requires board approval, we think when you look at the size and scope of our district, that makes sense. It also, if you look at the thickness of the binders that you get on the consent agenda for approval for board members, that makes sense. So we think that's a very reasonable sort of change to make, and we're very supportive of that. It's a streamlining that makes sense. Second, with regard to the administrative demotions and reassignments and so forth, we have not seen the committee substitute, so I don't know to what extent these concerns may be addressed, but I will say, we absolutely believe that the superintendent of the Jefferson County Public Schools should be able to select his or her own leadership team at the cabinet level with direct reports. That makes a lot of sense. He in this case, needs to be able to have the leaders that he feels like are prepared to work with him and are most effective and share strategies and vision. We also agree that if any administrator is demoted and wishes to challenge that. The current process is redundant in that they have an entire multi-day appeal to the local school board, only to find if they don't get the answer they like there, there's a whole nother appeal to the tribunal. It would make sense to cut the school board part out and let them appeal directly to the tribunal and not have sort of two redundant sequential appeals. So we certainly agree with that. We would caution against going much beyond those two issues, beyond the cabinet level and beyond streamlining the appeals process, because in a complex endeavor like education, it's not like widgets on the assembly line. We have to implement really complex initiatives, and the organization, an educational organization, has to be able to communicate up the chain. This is working, this is not working, this needs change. And if every person in the chain of command is worried that they may be reassigned without cause, if they, you know, give bad news to their boss, it's problematic. So there needs to be sort of a threshold below which you don't just have that kind of arbitrary level. And finally, with regard to the SBDM, that's our major issue. I won't repeat what's already been said. I will point out that in Jefferson County, as with every school district, if you have a struggling school under the current law, the superintendent has the authority to appoint the principal in a struggling school. So we agree that that is in place, that they can do that. And they do have a role with the process. But I would say that if you consider the principal selection process, I want to acknowledge Senator Rocky Adams. When she received this bill, it's originally from a group of business leaders. I don't think they always understand the nuances of the educational situation. They just wanted the superintendent to appoint the principals, just that's it. We expressed concerns about SBDM. To her credit, Senator Adams put back in, you go through the whole process, and then the superintendent has this ability to say no. That was certainly a positive step in the right direction, but it still is problematic for all the reasons that have been said. We would like to see that part of the bill in particular revised to be to address the concerns you've heard. Thank you.
I've got one question right now for the folks at the table currently. Representative Miller.
Thank you, and good to see you again, Brent. I had a cordial business relationship for several years, and I appreciate that. Am I correct that JCTA did not call the city out?
Yes, that's correct. I'm not sure it's totally germane to the bill at hand, but yes, that right. We did not.
Okay. Because it just seems to me that JCT has a respected voice, and it's eroded by social media driven sick outs. And because if you have a negotiation with a person, do they really speak for the people they have? So I think this action's really undercut you all. It's more of a comment. But you're welcome to comment if you wish.
Duly noted.
Okay. All right.
I would just say, I think every teacher who is here because they care about their students and care about their profession. And that is why they're here. Regardless of whose decision it was for that to happen, I think they've dedicated themselves and their careers to this work, and I just can't say enough about how much I respect and appreciate them, and, regardless of what brought them to this place. But thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all very much. Move on to our next group of presenters, if we could.
Hello, my name is Karen Bennett, and I'm a parent with two children currently attending JCPS schools. Both have attended the academy at Shawnee. My son attended the middle school and is now attending Central High School. My daughter is currently a senior at Shawnee's in their amazing aviation program. I am currently the PTA president at that school at Shawnee, and I've held that position for the last 3 years. I've been an active parent by serving on many of my children's PTA boards and SBDM boards. I will admit that on some of those boards, I've just dotted the I's and crossed the T's. It was not until my children started attending the Academy at Shawnee that I learned about the priority schools and how the priority schools can lose their SBDMs. The SBDM board at those schools then become an advisory only. So all we get to do is advise the budgets, we get to advise the curriculum, and we get to just that. The biggest loss with that when you become an advisory is the loss of your voice with the principal selection. In the last 10 years at Shawnee, there's been 8 different principals selected by 3 different superintendents. So far, in 3 years at Shawnee, my daughter has had 4 principals. My school community has been blindsided several times by the selection that the superintendent has done. I guarantee you that if this selection process had stayed with the SBDM, with the parents and the teachers that walk the halls day in and day out, we would have selected different principals. As it stands now, the superintendent is involved with the hiring of the principal, but yet the final decision should stay with the SBDM. This is the 30th anniversary for Kara. It was thought then, as I think it still should be today, that the principal selection needs to stay with the local school. So I'm asking this committee to vote no on Senate Bill 250. Thank you.
My name is Caitlin Druck, and I am a current student at PRP High School in Jefferson County Public Schools. I will be a high school student for another year and a half, but my little sister Crystal will be a high school student for the next 4 years, and my friends' little siblings will be students under this for so many more. The idea that they might not have the things, the opportunities, and the things that they need in these schools due to the appointment of a principal who is not right for that school absolutely terrifies me. They have done nothing to deserve something like that. The only people who know what we need in our schools are us, the teachers, the parents, the students. We are the only ones who know. And having someone appoint a principal from outside will do nothing but hurt. You cannot know what we need unless you are in our buildings every day. You cannot know what we need from the outside because there are so many things that change every single day. We need our SBDMs, and we need them to have influence. We need our dedicated teachers who love us and care about our education. We need our dedicated staff members who want to make sure that we have the safest and most helpful environment possible so that we can learn properly. We at PRP and at Butler and Valley and Doss and Wagner and Fern Creek and Iroquois and Atherton and Shawnee and every single other school, we need so many different things. You can't just have one person deciding. To get the things we need, you have to listen to us. You have to hear our voices and act upon what we have told you we need. Taking away that ability will destroy us. Students could grow so well. Students do grow so well. We have more opportunities and success if we keep our voice and our teachers' voices and our parents' voices in our schools. We, the students of JCPS, as I speak on behalf of all of us, are the friends of your sons and daughters and your nieces and nephews, and without the opportunities that we have to help us in our individual schools, cannot make changes in the world. To give us this ability, to give us this voice, to give us the things we need as individuals, gives us so much, so much that could change the world for the better. Now, and in 12 years, when my best friend's little brother is standing at his high school graduation ceremony. Thank you.
My name is Gay Adelman, and I've been working within the JCPS system as a parent volunteer, trying to affect change at my son's school, which is also the academy at Shawnee. I live in the east end of Louisville, and my son has the ability, if you look at this map, I'm not going to talk about student assignment other than to point out that we've oversimplified the solutions. If you look at this map, the academy at Shawnee has been broken up into 12 different districts or schools, and they're bussed out. And you know this because 2 years ago there was HB 151, and there was an attempt to undo our busing. And we agree, as parents and stakeholders, we agree that the busing, the student assignment plan needs to be revised. It's inequitable. But we want the local decision makers. We want local community buy-in in this process. And so that's why we objected to HB 151, but now we are pushing for a student assignment revision. That's why you see a big campaign in our district right now going on, student assignment first, because they're about to pass a facilities bill based on our current assignment model that will lock in this for another decade. So as a community, we are getting engaged and trying to make a difference. We don't even know what that solution is necessarily. We just want to really have authentic community feedback. So what that has to do with this is, if you take our voices away, I've been at that Shawnee without principal selection, and I've been fighting upstream. When we don't have a voice, going upstream is so much more difficult, that it's taken us 6 years just to get to this point where we're finally talking to you and expressing our concerns about this legislation. And so just removing principal selection power is not the solution. It just concentrates power into one person's hands. And yes, Marty's a great guy, Dr. Polia's a great guy, I'm not worried about him, but we've had superintendents that picked principals for our school, and that creates a dynamic that puts the superintendent and the principal becomes more loyal to the top-down bullying that comes from administration, especially when you are a struggling school. There's so much pressure for your struggling school to get its numbers up that they game the system, essentially. And so there's a lot of dynamics going on that are not acceptable to parents and stakeholders and taxpayers. And so what we want is an opportunity to keep our voice, keep that balance of power, instead of it being able to be just top-down controlled. Because you look at this map, and you can see that this plan started 10 years ago. This map over here is our students that are now in alternative schools. So 10 years later, that resides area has been harmed by this current student assignment plan. We know it needs to change. So you need to let local control make these decisions, keep parents engaged in this process, and don't assume that just taking our power away is how you're going to fix it. In fact, it's the opposite. We need to be restoring SBDM power for these schools so that we can actually make a difference in our classrooms. And Julie is my senator. Julie Rocky Adams is my senator, and I give her props. She came to Shawnee and spent some time with my son at the Academy at Shawnee, and I was really disappointed and saddened that I was not able to give her any of this kind of feedback that yes, we want to make the same changes and make the same improvements. We care about our schools and we care about our district, and we know that change needs to be made. I would have loved to have worked with her on ways that we could have made this bill accomplish her goals and also the stakeholders' goals, who have, because we're so concerned. This sick out was not called by JCTA. It was called by rank and file members of teachers, because they want their voice heard, and it's not being heard. This bill will harm our public schools, this piece of this bill. I don't think we have an objection to the other two pieces. It's the principal selection piece alone that we want to see removed from this bill if it comes out of committee. And I think we'll continue to make our voices and presence known here if it continues to move forward. Thank you.
Right, I've got a question for Representative Miller. And again, everybody, if you can, please be brief. We've only got about 10 minutes roughly to get over a session. Representative Miller, go ahead, and then Representative Gravis will be back.
Ms. Adelman, are you a member of JCTN?
Of course not.
You're not?
No, I'm a parent. Okay. I'm a volunteer parent. I'm passionate about the improvements that I see need to be made at the school where my son graduated, because it's been labeled a failing school, and yet he did amazing things at that school. The teachers there are amazing. I want you to know that it's not a failing school. It's a high poverty school, and that's what this other piece talks about. When they did the student assignment plan 10 years ago, Shawnee got double the number of poverty students compared to the rest of the district.
Let me rephrase.
Sorry?
I know you, since you ran for office, or I think for nomination for Senate, you believe in representative democracy.
Of course.
And we elect school boards, and they hire superintendents.
Correct.
And the superintendent and the immediate past president, chair of the school board say, to avoid takeover, we need certain tools. And 250 gives us those tools. And it is difficult, as I alluded to with Mr. McKim, for people to negotiate with a representative and then not be able to rely on that negotiation. You're undermining JCTA's position, any other organization that's alleged to speak for teachers, you're undermining that when you call. And I know I walked out before 9:30, and then after a couple of posts from Dear JCTS, boom, it explodes. And by the time I wake up at 6 a.m., schools are closed. My two granddaughters who go to JCTS are at home.
Can I respond to that?
You certainly may.
All right, so Dear JCPS was created as a result of the things that we saw happening at Shawnee. And one of the things that we saw happening repeatedly was teachers being retaliated against when they actually stood up for their students. So we formed an organization to give them cover. We have only amplified voices and kept them anonymous so that they don't have retribution. Under the current administration, retribution is not a factor, but under the prior administration, it was. And we have fought for years to get board members replaced who were willing to replace our superintendent so that we could actually affect change in our district. And yes, we are facing a state takeover, and I believe that principal selection is not the solution, but fixing our student assignment plan is. And we've been directed to do so by the commissioner. So we want to work with the commissioner and work within our district and within our community to make the changes that we think will avoid state takeover. And principal selection obviously is not the solution, because Shawnee would be a failing priority school 10 years later if that were the case, because the Hargans and Marty and whomever else has always had the ability to pick principals at Shawnee, because we are a priority school and we lost our SBDM power.
Thank you. I'm concerned about the slippery slope comment that was made earlier and how this could potentially end up affecting our rural counties. And so I think we need to keep that in mind. This might be something that Jefferson County needs. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it. But I'm concerned about the slippery slope and how this is going to affect the other 119 counties. And Mr. Chairman, I have a question, pardon my ignorance if this is appropriate or not, but when I read the bill, most of it was not bad, and some of it actually made a lot of sense, but section 1, subsection 7 on page 8 is the real bugaboo. And is it like legal or appropriate? Since this is local government, not education, I don't know, but can we take section 7 out if we agree to that as a committee and make that like a committee substitute?
By virtue of the committee rule that I adhere to with 24-hour notices on amendments or committee substitutes, I would not rule that in order at this time. That is something that absolutely could be worked on in the preamble before amendment. If it were to pass out of this committee, Representative Grimes.
Very good, thank you.
Other questions at this time? I have a motion from Representative Kane, second Representative Miller. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Bentley?
Yes.
Representative Brown?
No.
Representative Donahue?
No, ma'am.
Representative Elkins?
Yes.
Representative Frazier?
Yes.
Representative Gravis?
No.
Representative Howard?
Max Flame, my vote.
Go right ahead, Representative Howard.
First of all, I want to thank the teachers for being here and thank you for everything that you do for the state. I apologize to you for what you've been through. last couple of years. I hope that we can change the culture here so you can teach more effectively. I think this is a bad deal. It gives too much power to one person. Cuts tenures and for administrators. And as Representative Graves said, and I've got a lot of respect for the chairman, this should not be here. Now, this tells me that it doesn't have the votes to get through education. And if we go down this road, people are going to lose a lot more respect and confidence in government. I vote no.
Representative Rothenberger?
I vote, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Rothenberger.
As we've heard, there's some very good parts of this bill. Mr. Kim, you've stated that yourself. There's some very good parts. There's some parts that I still feel that there's some work on. And Mr. Kim, I think you all stated that, you know, time is pretty short, so we have to kind of, you know, either move it forward or we have to completely start all over next year. With that being said, I'm going to vote yes today, but I reserve my right on the House floor, and I still want to see continued work on getting rid of the parts that we all agree that probably need to be removed. Thank you.
Representative Tackett-Lafferty, may I explain my vote?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm voting no today, and I would like to say that my concern about this bill is not based upon my skepticism of a superintendent. It's based upon my confidence in the school-based councils. As a matter of fact, I was fortunate enough to serve in my county on the Superintendent Selection Council, where we chose from a pool of applicants the top five applicants that we wanted to submit to the board for consideration for hiring in our district. And that collaboration with as a parent, I sat on the board as a parent of three children who are enrolled in public school. I served with a teacher. I served with a classified employee, a certified employee. I served with a principal. I served with a board member. The collaboration and the information exchanged during that council as the process to select our superintendent was amazing. The caliber of applicants that we had, it was impossible to only send five to the Board of Education. And my experience from my history of being the daughter of a principal who relied so heavily on his site-based council members and my experience with the superintendent board, I vote no today.
Representative Meredith.
Senate Bill 250 does pass favorably. It is not eligible for consent because there are no and pass votes on it. We will move on to the House floor at this time. I want to thank everyone for being respectful today and the decorum of the meeting. And at this time, we will declare the meeting adjourned.
So, after listening to that information, there is some good news on the horizon. There is a House Amendment 1 that Representative Donahue just filed that would erase or delete those lines that took principal selection away from that bill. So if you have concerns about SB 250 and whether or not it should pass in its current form or if House Amendment 1 should be added, we encourage you to call the legislative hotline at 800-372-7181. Again, that's 800-372-7181. And let them know how you feel about SB 250 and the principal selection clause, and that there is House Amendment 1 that could be added that would remove this clause prior to passage. Again, 800-372-7181. You've been listening to Save Our Schools with Dear JCPS. This has been your co-host, Gay Adelman, riding solo today, and I thank you for joining us, and we will talk to you next week on Save Our Schools with Dear JCPS.